Chapter 18. They had been sitting around the table in the Matrax house since early morning, studying maps and floor plans and diagrams, searching for a plan of action that would be more than simply a complicated way of surrendering. Finally, just before noon, Leia called a halt.
"I can't look at this anymore,"
she told Chewbacca, closing her eyes briefly and rubbing her thumbs against throbbing temples.
"Let's go outside for a while."
Chewbacca growled an objection.
"Yes, of course there are risks," she agreed wearily. "But the whole village knows we're here, and no one's told the authorities yet. Come on, it'll be okay."
Stepping to the door, she opened it and went out. Chewbacca grumbled under his breath, but followed after her. The late morning sunshine was blazing brightly down, with only a scattering of high clouds to interfere. Leia glanced upward at the clear sky, shivering involuntarily at the sudden sensation of nakedness that flooded in on her. A clear sky, all the way up to space. But it was all right. A little before midnight, the Matrak had brought the news of the Star Destroyer's imminent departure. A departure which she and Chewbacca had been able to watch with the macrobinoculars from the Wookiee's kit. It had been their first break since Kabarak's arrest. Just as it had begun to look like she and Chewbacca would be pinned down here until it was too late, the Grand Admiral had abruptly left. It was an unexpected gift. A gift which Leia couldn't help but view with suspicion. From the way the Grand Admiral had been talking in the Dooka, she'd expected him to stay here until Kabarak's humiliation period had ended, after which the shipboard interrogation would begin. Perhaps he'd changed his mind and had taken Kabarak back early, with a backhand gesture of contempt for no Greek tradition. But the Matrak had said that Kabarak was still on public display in the center of Nesteo. Unless she was lying about that, or was herself being lied to about it. But if the Grand Admiral suspected enough to lie to the Matrak, why hadn't a legion of Imperial troops already swooped down on them? But he was a Grand Admiral, with all the cunning and subtlety and tactical genius that the title implied. This whole thing could be a convoluted, carefully orchestrated trap. And if it was, chances were she would never even see it until it had been sprung around her.
"Stop it!"
she ordered herself firmly. Letting herself get caught up in the mythos of infallibility that had been built up around the Grand Admirals would gain her nothing but mental paralysis. Even Grand Admirals could make mistakes, and there were any number of reasons why he might have had to leave Honegger. Perhaps some part of the campaign against the New Republic had gone sour, requiring his attention elsewhere. Or perhaps he'd simply gone off on some short errand, intending to be back in a day or two. Either way, it meant that the time to strike was now. If they could only find something to strike at. Beside her, Chewbacca growled a suggestion.
"We can't do that,"
Leia shook her head.
"It'd be no better than a full-blown attack on the spaceport. We have to keep damage to Nesteo and its people to an absolute minimum."
The Wookiee snarled impatiently.
"I don't know what else to do,"
she snapped back.
"All I know is that death and massive destruction won't do anything but put us back where we were before we came here. It certainly won't convince the Nogri that they should leave the Empire and come over to our side."
She looked out past the cluster of huts at the distant hills, and the brown colm grass rippling in the breeze. Glinting in the sunlight, the squat box shapes of a dozen Deacon droids were hard at work, scooping up a quarter cubic meter of topsoil with each bite, running it through some exotic catalytic magic in their interiors, and dumping the cleansed product out the back. Slowly but steadily bringing the people of Honegger back from the edge of the destruction they'd faced, and a highly visible reminder, if anyone needed it, of the Empire's benevolence toward them.
"Lady Vader?"
a gravelly voice mewed from just behind her. Leia jumped.
"Good morning, Matrak,"
she said, turning and giving the Nogri a solemn nod.
"I trust you are well this morning?"
"I feel no sickness,"
the other said shortly.
"Good,"
Leia said, the words sounding rather lame. The Matrak hadn't been so impolite as to say anything out loud, but it was clear enough that she considered herself to be in a no-win situation here. with dishonor and perhaps even death waiting for her family as soon as the Grand Admiral discovered what Kabarak had done. It was probably only a matter of time, Leia knew, before she came to the conclusion that turning the intruders over to the Empire herself would be the least disastrous course still open to her.
"Your plans?"
the Matrix said.
"How do they go?"
Leia glanced at Chewbacca.
"We're making progress," she said.
It was true enough. After a fashion, the elimination of every approach they'd come up with did technically qualify as progress.
"We still have a long way to go, though."
"Yes,"
the Matrix said. She looked out past the buildings.
"Your droid has spent much time with the other machines."
"There isn't as much here for him to do as I thought there would be," Leia said. "You and many of your people speak Basic better than I'd anticipated."
"The Grand Admiral has taught us well."
"As did my father, the Lord Darth Vader, before him," Leia reminded her.
The Matrix was silent a moment.
"Yes,"
she conceded reluctantly. Leia felt a chill run up her back. The first step in a betrayal would be to put emotional distance between the Nogri and their former lord.
"That area will be finished soon,"
the Matrix said, pointing to the laboring decon droids.
"If they finish within the next 10 days, we will be able to plant there this season."
"Will the extra land be enough to make you self-sufficient?"
Leia asked.
"It will help, but not enough."
Leia nodded, feeling a fresh surge of frustration. To her, the Empire's scheme was as blatant as it was cynical. With careful tuning of the whole decontamination process, they could keep the Nogri on the verge of independence indefinitely, without ever letting them quite make it over that line. She knew it. The Matrix herself suspected it. But as for proving it...
"Chewie, are you familiar at all with decon droids?"
she asked suddenly. This thought had occurred to her once before, but she'd never gotten around to following up on it.
"Enough that you could figure out how long it would take the number of droids they have on Honiker to decontaminate this much land?"
The Wookiee growled an affirmative and launched into a rundown of the relevant numbers. Clearly the question had occurred to him, too.
"I don't need the complete analysis right now,"
Leia interrupted the stream of estimates and extrapolations and rules of thumb.
"Have you got a bottom line?"
He did. 8 years.
"I see,"
Leia murmured, the brief flicker of hope fading back into the overall gloom.
"That would have put it right about the height of the war, wouldn't it?"
"You still believe the Grand Admiral has deceived us?"
the Matrix accused.
"I know he's deceiving you," Leia retorted. "I just can't prove it."
The Matrix was silent for a minute.
"What then will you do?"
Leia took a deep breath,
exhaled it quietly. "We have to leave Honiker. That means breaking into the spaceport at Nisteo and stealing a ship."
"There should be no difficulty in that for a daughter of the Lord Darth Vader."
Leia grimaced, thinking of how the Matrix had effortlessly sneaked up on them a minute ago. The guards at the spaceport would be younger and far better trained. These people must have been fantastic hunters before the Emperor turned them into his private killing machines.
"Stealing a ship won't be too hard," she told the Matrix, aware of just how far she was stretching the truth here. "The difficulty arises from the fact that we have to take Kabarak with us."
The Matrix stopped short.
"What is that you say?"
she hissed.
"It's the only way,"
Leia said.
"If Kabarak is left to the Empire, they'll make him tell everything that's occurred here. And when that happens, he and you both will die. Perhaps your old family with you. We can't allow that."
"Then you face death yourselves,"
the Matrix said.
"The guards will not easily allow Kabarak to be freed."
"I know,"
Leia said, acutely aware of the two small lives she carried within her.
"We'll have to take that risk."
"There will be no honor in such a sacrifice?
The old Nogri all but snarled.
The clan Kimbar will not carve it into history. Neither will the Nogri people long remember.
I'm not doing it for the praise of the Nogri people, Leia sighed, suddenly weary of banging her head against alien misunderstandings. She'd been doing it in one form or another, it seemed, for the whole of her life. I'm doing it because I'm tired of people dying from my mistakes. I asked Kabarak to bring me to Honegger. What's happened is my responsibility. I can't just run off and leave you to the Grand Admiral's vengeance.
Our Lord, the Grand Admiral, would not deal so harshly with us.
Leia turned to look the Matrak straight in the eye.
The Empire once destroyed an entire world because of me, she said quietly. I don't ever want that to happen again.
She held the Matrak's gaze a moment longer, then turned away, her mind twisted in a tangle of conflicting thoughts and emotions.
Was she doing the right thing?
She'd risked her life countless times before, but always for her comrades and the rebellion, and for a cause she believed in. To do the same for servants of the Empire, even servants who'd been duped into that role, was something else entirely. Chewbacca didn't like any of this. She could tell that much from his sense and the stiff way he stood at her side. But he would go along, driven by his own sense of honor and the life debt he had sworn to Han.
She blinked back sudden tears, her hand going to the bulge of her belly. Han would understand.
He would argue against such a risk, but down deep he would understand. Otherwise, he wouldn't have let her come here in the first place.
If she didn't return, he would almost certainly blame himself.
The humiliation period has been extended for 4 more days.
The Matrak murmured beside her.
In 2 days' time, the moons will give their least light. It would be best to wait until then.
Leia frowned at her. The Matrak met her gaze steadily, her alien face unreadable.
Are you offering me your help? Leia asked.
There is honor in you, Lady Veda,
the Matrak said, her voice quiet.
For the life and honor of my third son, I will go with you. Perhaps we will die together.
Leia nodded, her heart aching.
Perhaps we will.
But she wouldn't. The Matrak and Kabarak might die, and probably Chewbacca beside them. But not her. The Lady Vader they would take alive, and save as a gift for their lord, the Grand Admiral, who would smile, and speak politely, and take her children away from her. She looked out at the fields, wishing Han were here, and wondered if he would ever know what had happened to her.
Come,
the Matrak said.
Let us return to the house. There are many things about Nisteo which you must yet learn.
I'm glad you finally called.
Winter's voice came over the Lady Lux speaker, distorted slightly by a not-quite-attuned scrambler package.
I was starting to worry.
We're okay. We just had to run silent a while, Han assured her. You got trouble back there?
No more than when you left. The Imperials are still hitting our shipping out there, and no one's figured out what to do about it. Failure's trying to persuade the Council that he could do a better job of defense than Akbar's people, but so far Mon Mothma hasn't taken him up on the offer. I get the feeling that some of the Council members are starting to have second thoughts about his motivations for all of this.
Good, Han growled. Maybe they'll tell him to shut up and put Akbar back in command.
Unfortunately, Failia's still got too much support to ignore completely, particularly among the military.
Yeah.
Han braced himself.
I don't suppose you've heard from Leia.
Not yet,
Winter said, and Han could hear the underlying tension in her voice. She was worried too.
But I did hear from Luke. That's why I wanted to get in touch with you, in fact.
Is he in trouble?
I don't know. The message didn't say. He wants you to rendezvous with him on Nukov.
Nukov?
Han frowned down at the cloud-speckled planet turning beneath them.
Why?
The message didn't say. Just that he'd meet you at the, quote, money-changing center, unquote.
The...
Han shifted his frown to Lando.
What's that supposed to mean?
He's talking about the Mishra Tapcaf in Illic, where he and I met while you were following Brelia,
Lando said.
Private joke. I'll fill you in later.
So that means there's no question Luke sent the message.
Wait a minute,
Han put in as Lando started to answer.
Didn't you talk to him personally?
No, the message came in printed. Not on any scrambler, either.
He doesn't have a scrambler on his X-Wing, does he?
Lando asked.
No, but he could get a message coded at any New Republic diplomatic post,
Han said slowly.
Is this private joke something only you two would know about?
Us two, plus maybe 100 bystanders,
Lando conceded. You think it's a trap?
Could be. Okay, Winter, thanks. We'll be checking in more often from now on.
All right. Be careful.
You bet.
He signed off and looked at Lando.
It's your ship, pal. You want to go down and take a look? Or give it a miss and go check out this swimming casino of yours?
Lando hissed a breath between his teeth.
I don't think we got much choice, he said. If the message was from Luke, it's probably important.
And if it wasn't?
Lando favored him with a tight grin.
Hey, we've run Imperial traps before. Come on, let's take it down.
After the way they'd blasted out of Illic a few days earlier, it was doubtful the local authorities would be especially overjoyed to see the return of the Lady Luck to their city. Fortunately, he'd put the past 2 days' worth of leisure time to good use, and as they set down inside the domed landing area, the spaceport computer dutifully logged the arrival of the pleasure yacht Tamar's Folly.
It's just terrific to be back,
Han commented dryly as he and Lando started down the ramp.
Probably ought to snoop around a little before we head down to the Mishra.
Beside him, Lando stiffened.
I don't think we're gonna have to bother with the Mishra,
he said quietly. Han threw a quick glance at him, dropping his hand casually to his blaster as he shifted his gaze to where Lando was looking. Standing 5 meters from the end of the Lady Luck's ramp was a bulky man in an ornate tunic, chewing on the end of a cigar and smiling with sly innocence up at them.
Friend of yours?
Han murmured.
I wouldn't go that far,
Lando murmured back.
Name's Niles Ferrier, ship thief and occasional smuggler.
He was in on the Mishra thing, I take it?
One of the key players, actually.
Han nodded, letting his eyes drift around the spaceport. Among the dozens of people moving briskly about their business, he spotted 3 or 4 who seemed to be loitering nearby.
Ship thief, huh?
Yeah, but he's not going to bother with anything as small as the Lady Luck, Lando assured him.
Han grunted.
Watch him anyway.
You bet.
They reached the foot of the ramp, and by unspoken but mutual consent, stopped there and waited. Ferrier's grin broadened a bit, and he sauntered forward to meet them.
Hello there, Calrissian, he said. We keep bumping into each other, don't we?
Hello, Luke.
Han spoke up before Lando could reply.
You've changed.
Ferrier's smile turned almost sheepish.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't figure you'd come if I put my own name on the message.
Where's Luke?
Han demanded.
Search me,
Ferrier shrugged.
He burned out of here same time you did. That was the last I saw of him.
Han studied his face, looking for a lie. He didn't see one.
What do you want?
I want to cut a deal with the New Republic,
Ferrier said, lowering his voice.
A deal for some new warships. You interested?
Han felt a tingle at the back of his neck.
We might be, Han said, trying to sound casual. What kind of ships are we talking about?
Ferrier gestured to the ramp.
How about we talk in the ship?
How about we talk out here? Lando retorted.
Ferrier seemed taken aback.
Take it easy, Calrissian, he said soothingly. What do you think I'm gonna do? Walk off with your ship in my pocket?
What kind of ships?
Han repeated. Ferrier looked at him for a moment, then made a show of glancing around the area.
Big ones,
he said, lowering his voice.
Dreadnought class.
He lowered his voice still further.
The Katana fleet.
With an effort, Han kept his sabacc face in place.
The Katana fleet? Right.
I'm not kidding,
Ferrier insisted.
The Katana's been found, and I've got a line on the guy who found it.
Yeah?
Han said. Something in Ferrier's face. He turned around quickly, half expecting to see someone trying to sneak up over the edge of the ramp into the Lady Luck. But aside from the usual mix of shadows from the spaceport lights, there was nothing there.
Something? Lando demanded.
No,
Han said, turning back to Ferrier. If the thief really did have a line on Bel Iblis's supplier, it could save them a lot of time. But if he had nothing but rumors, and was maybe hoping to wangle something a little more solid.
What makes you think this guy has anything?
He demanded. Ferrier smiled slyly.
Free information, Solo? Come on, you know better than that.
All right then, Lando said. What do you want from us? And what are you offering in trade?
I know the guy's name,
Ferrier said, his face turning serious again.
But I don't know where he is. I thought we could pool our resources, see if we can get to him before the Empire does.
Han felt his throat tighten.
What makes you think the Empire's involved?
Ferrier threw him a scornful look.
With Grand Admiral Thrawn in charge over there, he's involved in everything.
Han smiled lopsidedly. At last, they had a name to go with the uniform.
Thrawn, huh? Thanks, Ferrier.
Ferrier's face went rigid as he suddenly realized what he'd just given away.
No charge,
he said between stiff lips.
We still haven't heard what we're getting out of the deal, Lando reminded him.
Do you know where he is?
Ferrier asked.
We have a lead, Lando said. What are you offering?
Ferrier shifted a measuring gaze back and forth between them.
I'll give you half the ships we take out,
he said at last.
Plus an option for the New Republic to buy out the rest. At a reasonable price.
What's a reasonable price?
Han asked.
Depends on what kind of shape they're in,
Ferrier countered.
I'm sure we'll be able to come to an agreement.
Han looked at Lando.
What do you think?
Forget it, Lando said, his voice hard. You want to give us a name? Fine. If it checks out, we'll make sure you're well paid once we've got the ships. Otherwise, shove off.
Ferrier drew back.
Well, fine,
he said, sounding more hurt than annoyed.
You want to do it all by yourselves, be my guest. But if we get to the ships first, your precious little New Republic's gonna pay a lot more to get 'em. A lot more.
Spinning around, he stalked off.
Come on, Han. Let's get out of here,
Lando muttered, his eyes on Ferrier's retreating back.
Yeah,
Han said, looking around for the loiterers he'd spotted earlier. They, too, were drifting away. It didn't look like trouble, but he kept his hand on his blaster anyway until they were inside the Lady Luck with the hatch sealed.
I'll prep for lift, Lando said as they headed back to the cockpit. You talk to control. Get us an exit slot.
Okay,
Han said.
You know, with a little more bargaining.
I don't trust him.
Lando cut him off, running his hand over the startup switches.
He was smiling too much,
and it gave up too easily. It was a hard comment to argue against, and as Han had noted earlier, it was Lando's ship. Shrugging to himself, he keyed for spaceport control. They were out in 10 minutes, once again leaving an unhappy group of controllers behind them.
I hope this is the last time we have to come here,
Han said, scowling across the cockpit at Lando.
I get the feeling we've worn out our welcome.
Lando threw him a sideways glance.
Well, well, since when did you start caring what other people thought about you?
Since I married a princess and started carrying a government ID,
Han growled back.
Anyway, I thought you were supposed to be respectable too.
It comes and goes.
Aha.
He smiled humorlessly at Han.
It looks like while we were talking to Ferrier, someone sneaked up and put something on our hull. 10'll get you one, it's a homing beacon.
What a surprise,
Han said, keying his display for its location. It was on the rear lower hull, back near the ramp, where it would be out of most of the liftoff turbulence.
What do you want to do with it?
The Torrijo system's more or less on the way to Pantolomin, Lando said, consulting his display. We'll swing through there and drop it off.
Okay.
Han scowled at his display.
Too bad we can't put it on another ship right here. That way he wouldn't even know what direction we're going.
Lando shook his head.
He'll know we've spotted it if we put down on Nukov now. Unless you want to take it off up here and try to toss it onto another passing ship.
He glanced at Han, paused for a longer look.
We're not gonna try it, Han, he said firmly. Get that look out of your eye.
Oh, all right, Han grumbled. That'd get him off our backs, though.
And might get you killed in the process, Lando retorted. And then I'd have to go back and explain it to Leia. Forget it.
Han gritted his teeth. Leia.
Yeah,
he said with a sigh. Lando looked at him again.
Come on, buddy, relax. Ferrier hasn't got a hope of beating us. Trust me, we're gonna win this one.
Han nodded. He hadn't been thinking about Ferrier, actually. Or about the Katana fleet.
I know,
he said. The Lady Luck disappeared smoothly through one of the ducts in the transperisteel dome, and Ferrier shifted his cigar to the other side of his mouth.
You're sure they won't find the second beacon?
He asked. Beside him, the oddly shaped shadow between a pile of shipping crates stirred.
They will not,
it said in a voice like cold running water.
You'd better be right,
Ferrier warned, a note of menace in his voice.
I didn't stand there and take that garbage from them for nothing.
He glared at the shadow.
As it was, you almost gave the game away,
he said accusingly.
Solo looked straight back at you once.
There was no danger,
the Wraith said flatly.
Humans need movement to see. Not moving shadows are of no concern.
Will it work this time?
Ferrier was willing to concede.
You're still lucky it was Solo and not Calrissian who looked. He saw you once before, you know. Next time, keep your big feet quiet.
The Wraith said nothing.
Oh, go on, get back to the ship,
Ferrier ordered.
Tell Abric to get her ready to lift. We've got ourselves a fortune to make.
He threw a last look upward.
And maybe,
he added with grim satisfaction,
a smart-mouthed gambler to take out.